The gift was wrapped perfectly. The paper creased at the corners just so. The tape was almost invisible. Even the paper that was selected was perfect. Your favorite colors, a pattern which spoke to you. It indicated that there was something more to discover. Of course, there was the bow, tied just right and placed at just the perfect spot on the box. Unwrapping the gift was a ritual. You see, it had been wrapped so carefully, it couldn't just be ripped open. Care was required to ensure that the paper didn't rip. And after removing it all, there sits the box. And looking inside the box, a smile reaches your lips. Yes, this is perfect. Beyond perfect. It is the gift I had always wanted, but was never comfortable asking for. Given to you by someone who knows your worth. This is the gift that Mary has given to Jesus. Expensive perfume poured out over his feet. An odd thing to do with perfume, we might think. But given the circumstances, entirely fitting. There is a lot going on in our passage from John's Gospel this morning. However, I think we can sum it up with a single word: extravagant. Extravagant gifts, extravagant life, extravagant grace. We are in the house of Martha and Mary, a well-known place to Jesus. Lazarus has just been raised from the dead. And in a week's time, Jesus will be dead. This is where we are in John's Gospel. The events of Good Friday still seem to be a long ways off for us. But within our passage this morning, there is no doubt that we are coming towards the end. We are in the period of the Christian year known as Lent, a time where we more commonly think of giving things up rather than living extravagantly. Yet we consider the gift that Mary makes, and we can say nothing less about this gift, this act, that it is an act and a gift of extravagance. There are multiple reasons why Mary might have poured that perfume on Jesus' feet. Lazarus has just been raised from the dead, spent several days in a tomb, and there is no doubt that the smell of the grave is in the air. Both from Lazarus having been raised and foreshadowing what we know is to come. And the perfume would overpower the smell of the grave. And this is one reason why She might have poured that perfume out. But why pour it on the feet of Jesus? Why not just pour it into a bowl? There must be something more. Perhaps she offered the gift of perfume as a response for the great act that Jesus has just performed. The perfume is therefore a gift for raising Lazarus from the dead, an offering of love, and a way to say thank you. It is an act of gratitude. But again, if this is the case, why pour the perfume on the feet of Jesus? Why not just offer him the vial? There must be something more occurring here. Could it be that Mary sensed something that the others could not? Did Mary fear that Jesus would no longer be with them? Did she know that the end was coming? And if so, was the act to pour out that perfume, was it an act of preparation? Born out of love, were her actions in some way to prepare Jesus for the grave? I suspect that all three of these motivations might be at play. But what we can say is that Mary's gift was extravagant, and her actions were unexpected. Yet Mary's actions that day are not the only unexpected things that occur, are they? We have the words of Judas, words which Jesus rebukes. Judas says, "Why wasn't the perfume sold and the money given to the poor?" Now, I know that the passage then goes on to explain that Judas was a thief who stole from the common purse. But he does have a point, doesn't he? Poor, poor Judas. He is always getting the short end of the stick. He's the one who betrays Jesus, and as a result, we have no time for him. But, is Judas right? Should the perfume not have been sold so that it could help the poor? I mean, even if Judas steals some of the money, that would still be a lot of money to help the poor. Is Judas right? Now, I know, it's really hard to argue with Jesus. But part of me thinks that Judas has a point here. But perhaps a better question is this. If Jesus, and presumably the other disciples, knew that Judas was a thief who stole from the common purse, why did they tolerate his presence? The disciples and Jesus pooled all their money together. The 13 of them lived from one bank account, one common pool of money. And Judas stole from that. He kept the books. He held all that money for them, and he stole from it for his own use. Why didn't they send him packing? Now, we don't have an answer for that question, But I believe that there is some serious food for thought on that question. Why does Jesus tolerate Judas? We know that the disciples were a ragtag bunch, fishermen, tax collectors, outsiders, and those viewed with distrust. Individuals described as sinners. So Judas fits in. But we don't hear about any of the other disciples in such a negative light. What might this tell us about Christ's heart, his compassion? What might it tell us about ourselves as sinful people? How does it inform our own relationship with Jesus and with one another? Why does God tolerate us? I will tell you that this question about Judas has been on my mind all week. I wrote the sermon later in the week than I normally do because I just couldn't shake this question. Why is Judas even in the Gospels? Is Judas only a disciple because someone had to betray Jesus? Yet the Pharisees and the high priests, they all knew what Jesus looked like. He'd been in the temple enough, teaching and healing. Everyone knew who Jesus was. Did Judas really need to kiss Jesus to point out who he was? I suspect that the appearance of Jesus was well known. I don't believe that Judas is in the Gospels because the story required someone to betray Jesus. I believe he's in the Gospels because we need to understand what it might be like to betray Jesus. Now, my normal reaction when I think of Judas's betrayal is one of disgust. How could he? How broken a man was Judas that he sold out Jesus, his friend, his teacher, for a bag of silver? It raises the question about my own sinfulness. Think of gangster movies. You might hear that line, "Everyone has a price." And we find out that Judas's price is 30 pieces of silver. Makes me wonder what my price is. At what point do I turn my back on Jesus? Judas might have sold him out for silver, but Peter does it for shame. He denies knowing Jesus 3 times. It makes you wonder if the perfume that Mary had poured on the feet of Jesus, if it had been sold and Judas had stolen some of that money, would he still have taken the silver to betray Jesus? I don't know. Perhaps he would have. However, I believe that the presence of Judas in the Gospels is there for us to take a hard look at ourselves and our commitment to Jesus. I believe that Judas was right to say what he said. His motivations may have been way off base, but the words he spoke, they had some truth to them. However, I also believe that Jesus was more correct. Jesus knows the will of God. Jesus indicates that it was intended for Mary to make that expensive gift. Mary's gift of expensive perfume is an offer of gratitude and an anointing, a way of saying thank you for what Jesus has done for her family. The extravagance of her gratitude is inspiring, and we should all be inspired by the way she gives. In the same way that she gives to God, we should also be willing to give, to assist the poor and the needy, to help our neighbors. Jesus says, "You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." And at first these words might seem confusing, perhaps even callous. After all, isn't Jesus the one who taught us to care for the poor? Why is he advocating to ignore them now? But we remember that the life of Jesus is an example to us. The things he has taught, what he has done, and what has been done to him. Our task is to discern right from wrong and to follow in his way. The poor will always be with you. So show them the extravagant love that Mary has just shown me. Consider extravagance a spiritual practice which requires doing something unexpected, perhaps doing something new. If you think of extravagance this way, especially with extravagant giving, you will realize that this is how God operates in our lives, that we have all been recipients of an unexpected and extravagant gift of grace. Amen.